yield completely to Your will, to Your hand, and Your guidance. Lord, here we are to worship. Use us. Make us into what You desire us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, as most of you probably already know, the title of the sermon, Everything I Ever Needed to Know, I Learned on Vacation, Part 3. You know, these sermons traditionally have been ones where something kind of goofy or wacky happened to Renee or some other person in my family, but mainly to Renee. But it didn't happen this time. She was just really boring on vacation this time, you know. She didn't do anything really crazy or anything. So, but still, you know, all we have to do to really see, you know, and that's where, you know, most of you know, visitors that haven't heard these sermons before, I've got this idea from the Robert Fulghum book, Everything I Ever Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten, talking about those simple things in life, that's where the key things, the most important things and essential things of life are learned in the simple of this world and not in the complex or complicated. Not learned at the graduate school seminary level, but learned in the sandbox, so to speak, playing, how to play and get along with one another. And just looking at the simple things that happen to us daily in God's hand and how we can draw inspiration and learn from those simple things as kind of the reasoning behind this set of sermons. So, a week at the beach, 10 days at the beach, if I can't come up with 4 or 5 things about how I can see God there, then I've wasted my time for sure. So, with that said, I do have a few things that I want to share with you that I learned while I was at the beach. Not anything new, no new great revelations. God didn't appear to me in the form of a burning bush or anything and tell me anything to do. But I do see and have seen God in many of the simple things that come and go in my life. The first thing that I learned while on vacation this time is that sometimes we miss the things that are right before our eyes. Sometimes we just miss what's just staring us right in the face, the obvious things. For example, on a Wednesday night that we were down there, on Wednesday nights down at Myrtle Beach on 2nd Avenue Pier, they have fireworks. Well, when we're down there, we always go down to the beach that night, go out and sit on the beach, and 2nd Avenue Pier is about a half a mile north of where we're at. Go out, take our chairs, sit down at the water's edge, watch the fireworks when they come out at 10 o'clock. Well, we're down there on Wednesday night, and I happened to notice this girl, and she walked by 3 or 4 times, talking on her cell phone, and she was dead into that conversation. I mean, she was, you know, just up and down the beach, but like I said, 3 or 4 times. And I see some people grinning about cell phones and being on the cell phones, and we all know how that can be sometimes, that those things can rule our lives if we let them. But she was serious into that conversation, and the thing about it was, what she was missing was one of the most spectacular natural fireworks shows I've ever seen. See, earlier that evening, a thunderstorm had come through, and we actually weren't able to go down to the beach as early as we would have because it's kind of scary there for a few minutes. But as it passed on out east, out into the ocean, we went on down. You couldn't hear the thunder anymore. We went on down to the beach and sat down, and out over the ocean, the lightning was flashing, and it was absolutely magnificent watching that, wasn't it, Renee? I mean, it was beautiful. This girl, I saw her, and she's back and forth. I don't know if she was talking to her boyfriend, having boyfriend problems or what, but she was dead into that conversation. I thought, my goodness, be here at the beach, at this beautiful place. It was so cool. It had been so hot that day, that cool breeze coming off of the rain and the water and the lightning flashing out there and the beauty that was there. And I thought, what is she missing? What is it that could be so important, so consuming, that nobody could even stop and take notice of that? Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 11 through 17. I'm sorry, John, I didn't get this put together. I'd planned on having this scripture where you could put it up on the screen. But Matthew, chapter 13, verses 11 through 17, Jesus says these words, and hear them. Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are you, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For surely I say to you that that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and hear what you hear and did not hear it. Folks, there's good news in what Jesus has for us. If we'll open our eyes to it, if we will see what is right before us, we don't have to go to some foreign country and serve God in some miraculous way. We don't have to be on television and bring in hundreds of new converts every week to the Christian faith. He has things for us to do right in front of our eyes. Things like going down to ABCCM and serving 3 or 4 hours a week. Like bringing in a can of food 2 or 3 times a month. By taking a Bible with you where you go, and when somebody gets in your path that a conversation strikes up and they don't know a whole lot about the Scriptures, handing it to them and saying, here, take a look. Read some of this. See what God has to say. Don't take my word. See what He has to say. There are so many times, so many ways that we just get so caught up in our lives and what's going on. We can get so caught up in church that we forget about being the church. Folks, don't let that building over there come between us and God. Don't let that building over there come between what God is calling us to do. Let's not make that a place that we've just got to pay for and keep up. Let's make that a place where people can come and hear about Jesus Christ. Let's not miss what's right before us because we're so caught up in the world and the things of the world. Don't get so caught up in the world that you miss what can truly bless you and enrich your lives. Don't let it happen. Sometimes, folks, we can miss what's right before our eyes. We can do it with our families. We can do it in our churches and our communities. And we certainly can do it in our relationship with God. Don't miss what's right before your eyes. The second thing that I learned, if I can get there, the second thing that I learned is that Satan is at work to deceive. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you what. I believe in Satan. Now, I don't believe in him in that I worship him. But I believe that Satan is real. Don't misunderstand me. Don't, at any point in time, there is Satan. There is a Satan. There is a devil. Whatever name you want to label to him, he is for real. Or that spiritual being is for real. I believe that. Satan is at work constantly to deceive. Let me tell you this little story, what I learned at the beach. And Wendy and the kids and Grandma Sue, they all were there for this. They'll know what I'm talking about. There was this lady at the beach that was on the beach every day. She happened to be staying at the condo too, so I got double whammied with her. Every time I turned around, I saw her, it seemed like. And this is one of those people that the more I was around her, the more she got on my nerves. But I called her the Shell Lady. And see, what she would do, she would go down on the beach, and we told Tim and Sandy, I think we were talking about this when we went out to eat down there, was telling about her. She would take this really nice shell, like a Welke shell, conch shell. It was really nice. And if you know down on Myrtle Beach, you don't find those just laying on the beach down there at Myrtle Beach. Now, you may go on down the coast a little farther, some of the more remote places, less traveled, and you may luck up upon one, but you don't find nothing like that down there on Myrtle Beach. It's been too well picked over. But she's got a fishing line tied to it, a transparent, clear fishing line tied to this shell. And when somebody's walking along, you see people, they go after it like crazy. And she's jerking it along, pulling it along. And they're just chasing it. They're just chasing it. Now, it gets a laugh when you first see it. But you know what? After time after time doing it to little children and old people and everybody in between, I thought, how many times is this woman going to like making a fool out of people? Now, and it just really got on my nerves, because it's kind of like watching a train wreck. You just can't help but watch it. You know, when it's right there in front of you, you just can't. And so when Renee and I go down to the beach, we ended up moving further and further down from where we would go. And I tried to get away from her, but still, I never did quite. Satan, folks, is at work to deceive. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, the Apostle Peter speaks these words. He says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Folks, just like this shell lady, Satan just keeps coming back day after day after day, time after time after time. She wasn't satisfied just to throw it out there and fool one person. She did it hundreds of times during the day. She wasn't satisfied just doing it one day, but she was down there every day we were down there doing that. Satan doesn't give up, folks. He delights in your misfortune. That is his goal. His aim is to make a fool out of you and to entice you into following him, distracting you from what's really important. And it really got on my nerves the whole time I was down there. I'll be honest with you. I had to pray about that thing. I need to be forgiven about that. Because what I wanted to do was run up there and grab that thing and yank it and jerk it and chunk it out as far as I could out in the ocean. So I had to pray about that thing. Satan was getting on me and I wasn't even chasing the shell. That's how Satan works, folks. He is the great deceiver. What did Peter say? "Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion." He's deceptive. He uses your weakness, and my weakness is people trying to make fools out of each other. That's one of them. Also, though, in that same thing, I looked at how many people, once that shell was jerked out from them, they just kept going. I mean, it was like, I see something, I've got to have it, and there it is. You know, it pulls back 3 feet, they take, you know, and they're chasing it. It's crazy. But folks, we do the same thing. There are things that are out there in this world that Satan puts in front of us and we can't quite reach them. Think about it, folks. Something's wrong. There's a hook in something there. That's what catches the fish, is that lure. Folks, when you see something being jerked around, when you feel like you're being jerked around and carried this way and that way, you better look around, because you're being herded up in a net somewhere, because the adversary, the devil, is looking for you and enticing you into that place where he can trap you. You know, just walking down the beach and seeing that shell and reaching down, that's not that bad. But when you start chasing it, folks, when you are right here in the world today, you're going to come up upon temptation after temptation after temptation. It's out there. Every day, every minute of the day. You don't even have to be out there. Just get on the internet. It's there. It's big time there. Folks, there's nothing wrong with being on the internet and you clicking and trying to get somewhere you need to go and to something you're looking up. And folks, it's happened to me. It's happened to you. If you've been on the internet any to amount to anything, you've gone somewhere you didn't really need to be. Folks, when you see that shell laying there and you reach down and it jerks, don't follow it. When you're on that internet and you go to that place that you shouldn't be, don't see where it leads you. I can tell you where it leads you. It leads you into a trap. It leads you to a place there's a hook in it that'll set in you that can't be got out. It's the same way out here in the world today. When things are jerking you and moving you around, don't follow. Step back and say, "Wait a minute now. What's going on here? Something ain't right." Pardon my English, but it ain't right. Look, because Satan is a roaring lion who will deceive you. And he's out there for that purpose. That's his job. That's his pleasure. And that's where he wants to be. Third thing that I learned while at the beach on vacation. Couldn't believe that I can get so fired up over a vacation, can you? If you want to be better at anything, more effective in anything, and let's apply this to our walk as Christians. If you want to be more effective, be a better Christian, you need to practice. Now, this is one thing about Renee, but it wasn't really goofy or crazy or anything. We have, for the last 4 or 5 years, Renee has played one round of golf a year with me, and that's at a par 3 course down there at the beach. We'll usually go down one time at least and play this little par 3 course. And we have a good time. And I'll give Renee's not that bad. She, you know, to play one time a year, you know, and never played more than 5 or 6 times total, she's not that bad. But she gets mad because she's not better. I'm terrible. That's just awful. That's just pitiful. I said, Renee, you just play once a year. And she said, well, I guess that's true. Just once a year. Folks, you know, Renee's not bad at playing golf, but she ain't going to never get any better than that, playing one time a year. Folks, if you want to be a Christian, a real Christian, an effective Christian, a good Christian, if you want to put that label on there, you're going to have to be involved with Christ more than once a year, more than once a week. If this is your only experience with Jesus Christ here on Sunday morning for an hour or for 2 hours, then folks, I'm going to tell you what, you need some more practice. You need some more practice. And I ain't talking about coming to church, you know, 17 times a week or anything. That's okay if you do. But I'm talking about having an encounter with Christ where you work, where you live, where you play, where you sleep. You need to take and have practice. Being a Christian, following Christ, being effective is not just something that happens after a one-time encounter and coming down to the altar and say, Lord, I'm saved. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Whistle your way on out and go about your business and never worry about it again because I've been saved. You're not going to be an effective Christian. You see, you were saved not solely for the purpose of the salvation of your soul, but you were saved, Dan, so that you could bring others to Christ, so that you could share with others the good news of Jesus. Not so that you could be a preacher necessarily and preach to everybody, but so you could live your life in such a way that other people say, you know what? He got something that I like. What is it? I want some of that. Folks, you're not going to be effective if this is your only experience with Christ a week, right here in this place. Fourth and final, for this one anyway. Oops, wrong one. Fourth one is that a personal experience, a personal hands-on experience, cannot be replaced. That same night that Renee and I were on the beach waiting for the fireworks to take place, we were sitting there in another cell phone. This girl comes running down to the beach right beside us there. She's a teenager, late teens, I guess, maybe 20 years old. Comes running down there and she's on the cell phone and she's laughing and she says, yeah, I'm here now. I'm here now. Can you hear it? And she holds the cell phone out to the water. And then she takes it back and she's talking and they're laughing. Well, obviously she was talking, I don't know, to a parent or somebody, you know, that and she had just got to the beach and she was there and she was excited to be there at the beach she was looking forward to it and holds the phone out and says, can you hear this? Well, you know, maybe they could hear it. You know, and I don't know, but and that's good that she was sharing that joy and excitement about being at the beach. But I'm going to tell you what. Don't call me and tell me, listen, here's the ocean. I want to go with you when you go. I want to have that personal experience. That's good to hear it and to think about it. But you know, there ain't nothing like being there. You can tell me about it all day long, but I really don't know about it until I'm there. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 43 through 49. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip, and he said to him, follow me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter, and Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, and he said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile, who is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? And Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus answered and said to him, because I have said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Folks, it wasn't Andrew's words telling Nathanael about, or Philip's words telling Nathanael about Jesus that changed him, but it was the personal experience that Philip had, that Nathanael had with Jesus. It's the same for us. We need a personal experience. You can come to church every time the doors are open. You can listen to every sermon that's on the television. You can go on the internet and listen to all the sermons that are compiled there. You can read your Bible every day. But folks, it all comes down to a point that you have to have that personal experience, that personal relationship with Jesus. I can tell you about it, but it's not going to do you any good until you have that encounter and that personal experience. The personal experience just can't be replaced. I wouldn't have never married Renee if all we'd done was ever talked on the phone. You know, she wouldn't have married me if that was all there ever was. It takes a personal experience to establish a real relationship. Folks, this morning as we close, I'm inviting you to experience the greatest relationship that you can ever experience. A personal relationship. I know 99% of you folks are saved. You've given your life to Jesus before. But if there's one out there that hasn't, if there's one of you that hasn't, that's in a place that you're not satisfied with, I invite you to encounter the risen Savior this morning. Don't just hear about Him. Don't just listen to what other people are saying. But I invite you to invite Him into your heart and make Him a part of your life. Have that encounter, that personal relationship. Don't just hear it in the songs we sing or the prayers that we repeat, but experience Him today. Everything I ever needed to know, I learned while on vacation. And the most important thing I learned is it takes that personal relationship. Make that relationship part of your experience today, if you haven't. Let's pray. Father, as we come together today and close, I pray that you would move each of us to a deeper, more meaningful place in our walk with You. Lord, if there's someone that's estranged from You here today, Lord, I pray that You work whatever You do in their heart and their lives. Lord, may You move. May You take away all barriers, any attitude or any preconceived notion that may keep us from committing fully to You. Lord, give us that will and that strength that we can trust in who You are and not who we are. Lord, we honor You, we love You, and we praise You. In Jesus Christ, we trust and we pray. Amen.